You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Here on Wellness for Life, we love to talk about brain health and prevention of mental decline. You know, we share natural strategies on how to improve your cognitive skills, your memory, your capacity to learn and retain information, and of course, to sharpen our mental and communication skills and more. Today, we have Dave Beal, the program director for BrainPowerWellness.com and the author of the upcoming book, The Power Brain Classroom. Now, he believes that you need more than just cognitive exercise. You also need physical and emotional exercises to tap into your infinite brain potential. Thank you for joining us on Wellness for Life Radio, Dave.
Thanks for having me, Suzanne.
Absolutely. Now, what is brain fitness? You talk a lot about brain fitness, and you're saying it's more than just cognitive exercises. What do we have to do?
Sure. Well, that's the optimal word, is do. So the more active we are physically, emotionally, and cognitively, then, you know, the better our brain is going to operate. So in our program, we stress a holistic approach to brain health. So we have a variety of physical exercises, as well as stress management and emotional wellness training, and specific cognitive exercises to kind of work out our brain and integrate the left and right hemispheres.
Now, tell me how you got into this brain stuff. You know, what made you?
It's a great question. I was trained as a teacher, so I worked for 5 years in the classroom teaching 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade, both in Brooklyn and New York City, and also in Long Island. And I became a teacher because I really care about kids. I want to create a healthier and more sustainable world. But I just I felt like there was always a limit to the effectiveness that I had, both academically and socially, with the kids that I was working with. And so my 3rd year in the class, I was introduced to this training, this brain education training. And so I brought in, you know, some of these very simple mind-body exercises, brain training games, team-building activities, and it really transformed the classroom environment for me. And that was my 3rd year in the class, and it was the most stressful year for me because I had done relatively well my first 2 years, and so then the administration kind of gave me the toughest group of students to work with, and this was the 5th lowest performing school in all of New York City. So they were really, academically, all of my students were below grade level, and there were a number of, social, emotional, and behavior issues that I had to deal with on a day-to-day basis, and my kind of traditional graduate school education just kind of didn't cut it for giving me the tools that I needed. So after taking just a simple workshop, I started using every day I would introduce a new activity to the class. And after some initial skepticism from some of my kids, they really bought in and they loved it. And I saw some awesome transformations both in them and in me. And for the last 12 years, you know, every single day I've been, you know, doing this for myself. And then luckily, I get to do this as my job, so I'm able to kind of share this. We've worked with about 400 schools nationally, and been able to work with about 100,000 kids the last 10 years.
Wow, that's phenomenal. I mean, that's huge successes, absolutely. What I'm interested in, also, you said that there were transformations, but I want to know, like, exactly what kind. Like, did you see that their grade level, you say it was a 5th lowest, in the grade, in their academics. Did you see improvement in that?
I did. And, you know, at that time, as a classroom teacher, then my focus was on the individual student success, you know, within my class. And so I did. Most of my students came in as level ones academically, which is significantly below grade level. And then I was really proud that at the end of the year, they had all moved either from level one to two or at least, from 2 to 3, which means they were on grade level. So we had some really great success just within my class. And then, since that time, I was just kind of learning and starting out and looking at it by a student-by-student basis. But since then, just in some of the research that we've done in our participating schools, the cognitive gains are awesome. I mean, we have specifically around recall and memory, And then in sequential and quantitative reasoning, information processing, like the speed at which our students are able to solve problems is, in general, they improve about 3 times more than their, the counterparts who don't take our brain training. So it's pretty awesome.
Wow. So what your desire, obviously, is that you want this to be spread into every classroom. Isn't that right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm kind of an idealist. I think that, I think we really can. Like, we look at all the problems that our world is facing, you know, both on an individual level, a community level, global level. I think they're all kind of, most of these things are kind of created just by human behavior, which is a result of our, you know, the way that we use our brain. So I think that we can, you know, really change things. And obviously, you know, our kids are the future. And if we can, empower them with some simple tools that they can use to be healthier and happier and more successful, then that's exactly how we can change things. So yeah, definitely my goal is for every school in the U.S. to use these methods for sure.
Now, these methods are written up in your book, The Power Brain Classroom. So could a teacher, a kindergarten teacher or, you know, sixth grade teacher, read that book and be able to incorporate it into their practice, into their daily activities at the school?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So our program is very action-oriented because, you know, there's so many things that sound so good theoretically, and it's great to read and learn, but if you're not applying it, then it's not really helping. So in our book, part one of the book, explain some of the science behind this and kind of getting people to understand theoretically and the principles behind it. But the majority of the book is the second half, which is, or the second part rather, which is 30, classroom activities that you can introduce to a variety of grade levels, you know, from pre-K through high school, and things that can be done within, you know, a pretty crowded classroom environment that touch on 10 different themes. So the first is team building, so creating the optimal environment. And then there's some really effective physical exercises. There's some focusing exercises to help with their cognition. And then I think a big one kind of buzzword in education now and just in general is mindfulness. And so we, that's one of my favorite aspects of this training is that it teaches us to, you know, to unplug and to relax. And so we get some really great activities that they can use in their classroom to promote mindfulness. And then there's also some memory boosting activities, some emotional wellness training. And then the last four are creativity, confidence, character, and citizenship. They can totally, through reading the book, they can incorporate 3 or 4 activities for each of those themes.
You know what? All the things that you just talked about, I think grown-ups need this. I think they need it in their workspace, mm-hmm. in their small businesses. Don't you think it would be really powerful for that too?
It is, absolutely. I mean, you know, they say you teach what you need to learn, right? And so what I realize, as a teacher, my focus was always on the students in front of me. And that's always my goal is the kids. But, you know, change doesn't happen within a vacuum. You know, I'm also a parent of a 15-year-old son, and I want to be the best parent that I can be. I work with a lot of parents. We have a Power Brain Training Center here in Bayside, New York, which is where our headquarters is. And we're able to do parent seminars, you know, for them. And for the teachers we work with in the schools, the response is usually exactly what you said, Suzanne, is that, wait, I need this for me, you know. And it's mm-hmm. true. And that's the synergy. It has to be there. Because if you approach this like I'm teaching, you know, some kind of, you know, typical kind of curriculum where you read a book or you see a PowerPoint or you do that kind of thing, it's not really that impactful. But if the teacher and the parent, if they do this with the kids, and everybody's challenging their brain and everyone's, trying to be healthier and more mindful and all those things, then we can all, kind of get where we want to get together. So I agree 100%. So these are all things that, you know, our instructors, you know, we don't just teach this stuff. We, you know, every day we do our own training as well.
I was just interviewing Dr. Michael Feld on ADHD, and he's a psychiatrist, and we talked about that. But and I was thinking that, geez, just talking about what you're saying, I'm wondering if it at all has any impact on ADHD children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it definitely does. So this kind of training is for, you know, for all learners, but certainly, you know, educators who work with students with special needs get particularly excited about it. And we've had some really great success. Actually, I tell a story in my book about one of my students, my fourth year teaching, who had ADHD. And so he came to the very first day when he introduced himself to me. That was the first thing out of his mouth, was that he had ADHD. And so he really identified with that. And then in some ways, he felt stigmatized by it and didn't know what to do with it and was taking medication and kind of felt conflicted about that. And just didn't have a lot of hope that things were going to be that different for him. And I just, the very first day, I said, well, you know, I have some brain exercise that we can try, and we'll see how that works. You know, we'll see if that can help you. And he got really excited, and he was, he always loved, every day we would take brain breaks. This is when I was teaching in Long Island. I was teaching fourth grade. And so throughout the day, you know, it's a pretty 6 hours, it's a pretty long day, to create, you know, an optimal environment. We take maybe 3, 4, 5 different short breaks during the day for the kids to do these exercises. And he loved it. And he would do it at home, and he got his parents involved and everything. And one of the most touching moments that I've had as an educator is getting a letter from his mom. And she wrote, you know, I'm crying while I'm writing this to you. I just wanted to let you know that he's come off of his medicine. And I didn't want to tell you because I wanted to see how he did in your class. I didn't want you to know, but it's been 1 month since the last time that he's taken any medicine for his ADHD. And now his, you know, because of the exercises that he does, his homework time has been cut in half, and he's, you know, he doesn't have the meltdowns and, you know, these kind of things. So, he, you know, she just sent her that letter of, you know, gratitude, and that really hit me and really touched me. And, you know, because that was at a time when I was still in the classroom, and I was just kind of getting a feel for how to utilize this stuff for my kids. And that gave me so much conviction that this can really help people. And so that it definitely can help students, you know, give them alternative methods to manage their attention through breathing, through cognitive training, you know, and it has a really big impact for kids with ADHD.
Great. Have you heard of a technique called the Power Brain Yoga?
Power Brain Yoga.
Super Brain Yoga. I think it's not power. It's Super Brain. I'm getting Power Brain mixed up with yours.
Super Brain Yoga. I have heard. I'm not familiar with it, but I have heard that term. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I learned it a while back. Master Choksui, I think that's his name. Uh-huh. He's passed on, though. But he delivered a technique, or he made up a technique where you pinch your left thumb on your right ear lobe. And then you pinch your right hand on your left earlobe.
Yeah.
And you cross your arms, and then you do some squats. You know, you do deep breathing while you're squatting. And that activity, and I've taught it many times to kids and adults, and it really opens up the energy in the brain, the blood flow to the brain, and I actually think it optimizes the glymphatics of the brain. Glymphatics is the lymphatic system of the brain. And people say that they get more energized, they get more clear, they can calm their brain down if they're just overly excited, you know?
Right.
And I'm curious if some of your exercises are similar to that.
Yeah, so, I mean, what you mean, there's a couple things going on in that exercise that you mentioned, which are all really awesome. So one is the concept of crossing the midline, so having, you know, the right hand onto the left ear and vice versa. So that's a way of, you know, connecting the left and right hemispheres of the brain. So we also do a lot of those kind of activities where we're crossing the midline. So you create more connection between the two functional parts of the brain. So that's one thing that's really fantastic. That in the book that I have, I introduce three exercises like that, what we refer to as neuroplasticity exercises that are literally, you know, creating a new connection between the different neurons in the left and right hemispheres of the brain. So that's super exciting. And then you have the physical component, right, with the squats, which, as everyone is well aware of, you know, most of our kids are not getting enough exercise. So anything that you're going to do similar, you know, to that kind of exercise is going to promote more blood and energy circulation. So that's excellent. So we also have, tons of these kind of activities for the kids in the class. And then the last part is the breathing and mindfulness. I mean, that's huge, right? So just very simple breathing techniques can help us to bring our awareness back to our body and to, you know, help us to lower our brain waves so that we're more in the moment, we're more focused. So, we don't have that specific exercise that you referred to, but actually we have many that are very similar to it. And the impact is really awesome. So that's great.
Fantastic. Tell me, when is the best time to do these kind of exercises? Like, you know, do you do it right when the kids come to class, or is it right after lunch when they're starting mm-hmm. to feel tired?
Yeah.
When do you incorporate them?
Yeah, the simple question, that's a perfect question. The simple answer is when you need it. I mean, that's the basic, the baseline. Because, and then as a teacher, you can feel it. When you look out and you see the kids, you can see if they're kind of, if they're bouncing off the walls, then you're going to need to do, you know, some breathing exercise or something to kind of calm them down and help them to center themselves. Certainly after lunch is a big time. Most of us physiologically, our attention is lower at that point. Doing some fun kind of team building stuff when they come back from lunch helps them to kind of reset their mind for the next 2 or 3 hours to create a productive afternoon. Actually, a big time of day, Suzanne, is before testing, because as we are all, most of us are pretty aware of the kind of high stakes testing and how obviously how huge that is for the school system in general. And we've had a number of, parent protests around these high stakes testing, and kind of that's a whole nother conversation. But anytime we have this kind of assessment, the number one obstacle that most of us face is anxiety about it. So kids are no different. So when they take these tests, anxiety is the number one reason they underperform. So doing some really simple, fun exercises, that's what I recommend with the teachers that I train. Do a team building or like a simple stretch, something that the kids really enjoy. Let them laugh, let them really have fun and kind of wake up their brain that way, and then do some calming breathing exercises. So then they're both focused and centered, but they're also positive. You know, they're not feeling those nerves or that anxiety, so they have a more positive mindset, which is going to, you know, lead to more success on the assessment. So that's a big one, is before testing. But throughout the day, as the teacher reads the energy of the class, they can see, many teachers use it for, you know, interpersonal relationships. If the kids had a disagreement or something like that, they give them some exercises to kind of empty out the negative emotion, and then they're able to come back and really talk it out and solve the problem very quickly. Whereas without that, then they're just kind of upset with each other for a long time. So it's kind of across the board, however the teacher, you know, needs it. Also for memory as well, at the end of a lesson, we do some, some visualization to help the students, you know, remember what they learned. So it's kind of used throughout the day.
What I love about your techniques is that you're actually putting the person, child or adult, into their body.
Right.
Getting them out of their mind. I've always believed that the body is so much more powerful than our brain. I mean, what I mean mm-hmm. by that is the mental aspect of the brain. You know, when we think too much, when we are ruminating, when we are, going into the mental aspects, it can cause a lot of problems. It plays a lot of tricks on us.
That's right.
It makes us feel bad. I mean, there's so many things. Then, so by you centering right back into the body and getting, you know, tripping, it's almost like you're tripping the brain to stop what it's doing and go into the body. It's resetting the system, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, no, that's a really, it's a great point. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemy, right? We have these highly developed brains, but then I saw a recent study that came out that 70% of our thoughts were more negatively oriented than positive. So, we have this amazing capacity, but a lot of times we can end up wasting it on worrying and anxiety and, you know, the things that aren't actually productive for what we want. So the physical component of the training, I totally agree, Suzanne. Getting in, connecting with the body, that's a huge part of it. And we teach about the fourth step of brain education is called brain integration. So it's integrating the brainstem, which controls the physical part of our being, and then the limbic system, which is our emotional intelligence, and the neocortex, which is our logic and analysis. So kind of integrating the three of those together, you know, so that we can have more control over these thoughts, so we're not controlled by them. So that's a really, really fantastic point.
Well, gosh, you know what? I think you're going to have to show us an exercise right now, or at least not show us, but let's go through one, because I want to, you know, be able to, our listeners, I'm sure, would like to try one of them.
Yeah,
you've got
absolutely.
Something easy for us to do?
Well, I can't promise it's easy, but we have one expression that while you try this, I want you to keep repeating to yourself. We say, my brain loves challenges.
Okay, my brain loves challenges.
That's
okay.
That's right. So this one is super simple. It's in the book. It's called Pinky Thumb Exercise. So mm-hmm. I'll kind of talk it through. It's easier if you can watch, but I'll do my best to talk you through it. So if you can have both hands in front of you with a mm-hmm. loose fist and your fists facing towards you, towards your chest. And on one hand, you can put your thumb out. And on your other hand, you can put out your pinky finger. So they're pointing in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
So far, so good?
Yeah.
All right. And now you're just going to switch. So you're going to put your pinky out in the other hand and your thumb out on the other hand.
Wow. That's interesting. Just going back and forth.
Right. And then try to do a little faster. So just and switch again.
This is really interesting. Now, I think I'm a good athlete.
That's right. Right.
I think I'm really good at, but this form of switching back and forth,
mm-hmm.
wow, it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be. It can be. Yeah. And so actually, while we have tons of in the book, there's three or four. In the teacher training we do, we do 15 or 20 of these types of like tactile exercises. So while you're trying to switch, try three things. So one is to smile, which seems counterintuitive because when you get challenged, sometimes we feel frustrated. But when you smile, you're able to kind of break up that frustration and release endorphins so you can learn a little faster. And then the other one is to breathe out through your mouth. So as you exhale, just kind of let go of that tension. And then the last one is just to keep repeating a positive message, like my brain loves challenges or I can do it, something, you know, to affirm yourself.
So there's four things going on. You're switching fingers physically. You're breathing. You're saying
right.
Mentally, my brain loves challenges, and then you're smiling. Those
That's
are
right.
the four things. I'm telling you, when I started smiling, I actually got better at it.
That's right. No, that's completely true. And then just to have fun. So, I mean, if you get too tense and serious, then you know the circulation shuts down, so it's no good. So just smile and have fun, and just kind of laugh at yourself. And then, but if you keep going, then you're going to persevere, and you're going to get it. That's
right.
The only thing that separates success and failure is if you give up or not. So as long as you have fun and keep going, you're definitely going to be successful.
So I want to make sure that I'm doing it right. My
sure.
hands are in front of me. The palms
mm-hmm.
are up, and then I make a fist.
That's right.
And then as soon as I make a fist, I point my left thumb out and my
okay.
right pinky out so
Correct.
That they're kind of like almost parallel to each other in a sense,
mm-hmm.
diagonally. And
yeah.
then after I'm done with that, I switch over to the other side, which is my right thumb out and my left pinky out, right?
There you go. There
I
you
got
go.
That, right?
Yeah,
so,
you got it
so
perfect.
So it's kind of like you've got like a window washing thing going on. With
yeah, right, like the windshield wipers, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
You,
windshield
you
wipers,
can,
exactly.
You can just keep, and then just at first, usually we try to scaffold it and just do one at a time. But as you get better and relax more, then you can switch it simultaneously and then eventually pretty quickly back and forth. And then we introduce, you know, with the kids, we have fun with it and we, you know, we sing like a silly song, like Row Your Boat or Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, something with rhythm. And then, you know, students who have a lot of musical intelligence, the rhythm really helps them. So they kind of get into a rhythm and they're able to, you know, to do it more successfully. And that speaks to your point before, Suzanne, about getting out of your head, you know, getting out of your intellect. And then when you feel rhythm, then that's in your brainstem. So you're more in your body
right.
and you're able to relax into it and really just do it.
So by doing this, pinky thumb exercise,
mm-hmm.
what part of your brain are you improving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great question. So what it does, it actually promotes, you know, cooperation between the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere of the brain. So As many of us know, your left hand is connected to the right hemisphere of your brain, and vice versa. Generally speaking, the left hemisphere is more logically inclined, and the right hemisphere is more creative and intuitive. So when you're doing a simple tactile exercise like this, by strengthening that connection, then you're able to, you can pick up on which side you're dominant on, and which side is already going well, and then you can work on the side that's a little more difficult, but you're actually creating better synergy within your own brain, creating new synapses between the left and right hemisphere.
I love the fact that we're building new synapses, because, there's an area of the brain called the corpus callosum, that middle aspect that communicates the two. And as we age, it actually shrinks. And
that's,
I think, it has a lot to do with the fact that we're not communicating between the left and right side. A lot of the times I actually tell people to do art with their opposite side.
That's
so that they can improve that. And great information. Let's go ahead. I want to just make sure Brain Power Wellness is your website, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And you know what? I want a copy of your book. I haven't got it because it's not out yet. The Brain Power Classroom, 10 Essentials for Focus, Mindfulness, and Emotional Wellness. Really great interview here. I'm so glad we chatted. This was amazing.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. All right. So we've got here Brain Power Wellness, right? That's what it's called. BrainPowerWellness.com. And Dave Beal, B-E-A-L, his book is called The Power Brain Classroom. I can't wait to see it. Thanks so much, Dave. Really appreciate it. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Radio MD. Until next time, stay well.